Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey folks, welcome in to a new episode of Prep Rally. Brad Dalton here with you as we are pretty much every Wednesday to talk about high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. And Dalton, how's it been this week?
It's been kind of a slow week. You know, you could the Monday off for Labor Day, kind of off. Not really. You never really get a too big a day off in the newspaper. But
no, it's kind of thrown me for a loop too. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking today is Thursday, but it's Wednesday.
I've been thinking it's Tuesday.
Well, I don't know.
We're all messed up.
Okay, so it's not just me. So that's good. But we got a lot of football to talk about, obviously, on this episode of Prep Rally. Going to talk a little bit of basketball. Going to follow up a little bit on the news from last week that we discussed with the state tournament having its format changed by the MHSAA. Before we get moving here, let's remind you that you can access this podcast in iTunes or any of your podcast apps, or you can stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. And also, Dalton, I need to plug something that you and I have been doing the last few weeks, the DJ Preps football preview show, little short video with me and Dalton kind of breaking down three big games from the weekend. And so I think that will drop on Thursday at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So keep an eye out for that at djournal.com. Let's jump into the football, Dalton. Looking back at week three, already 3 weeks into the season, about to be four. It's crazy. I'm going to look at some key games there, and Dalton, you were at this one. We'll start with Tupelo at Clarksdale. Tupelo having to use its third string quarterback Jake Ware, and so you know that's a tough position to put a kid in at that point. But Stephon McGlon, obviously, he went down with the ankle, and Peyton Puckett has some kind of abdominal injury. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what it was. I didn't get too many details on it, but it was, you know, abdominal, and so I was excited to get down there and see what Jake Ware can do, but he only took four snaps in the game. So
yeah. Well, they ran the ball a lot, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, I think his four snaps, I think two of them were snaps over his head.
Yeah.
And then the other two were dropped interceptions.
Right.
But you know, they basically just put J-Rock back there. J-Rock with Jaquarius Williams and just ran it down Clarksdale's throat. And Clarksdale knew it. I mean, they stacked the box. There was 8, 9, 10 people in the box at all times all night.
Jeez.
And they couldn't get much going. I mean, they had a few drives. Had a few drives where they would drive all, like the very first drive of the game, they drove all the way down to the 25.
Yeah.
And then a bad snap over the head resulted in a first and, you know, it was like a first and 25.
Right.
And it resulted in a punt. The next drive, they go all the way down to the 30. Bad snap over the head, it's first and 34. They just kept killing themselves. I think they ended up with, it was either four or five bad snaps over the head of whoever was playing quarterback at the time.
Yeah.
And just,
maybe because they're used to Stephon being, you know, the taller guy.
Yeah, I guess so. They're just snapping over these 5'7", 5'8" kids' heads. And
well, Tupelo pulled it out, though, Dalton, 6-0.
Yeah, they went down there, and J-Rock scored as time expired in the first half. Cause
wow.
The defense forced a fumble, and they went for it on 4th-and-1 on the 10-yard line. The very next play, or it was the 11-yard line, the very next play, J-Rock kind of was trying to pass it, and it broke down, pocket broke down. He just sprint towards the end zone, got in there, is the only score of the game. And then Tupelo's defense allowed 106 yards, I think is what it was, and
wow.
I think forced four turnovers. So the defense got back to what we saw the defense be last year, you know.
Right.
And the defense was just so good over and over, week in, week out. They didn't see that in week one and week two this year. They allowed 30 points, almost 30 points each to Meridian Corinth, and then they throw a shutout. So
Yeah. Well, Tupelo still undefeated. Let's look at the game I was at last weekend. Boonville was hosting Nettleton. Now, Boonville's head coach, Mike Maddox, was not able to make that game. He's been dealing with some health issues. And he got to coach from the press box against Baldwin week before last, but this is the second game he's missed this season, and so I'm sure he's itching to get back out there, and all well wishes to Mike to do so. But even without him on the sidelines, Dalton, Boonville took care of business. I mean, Nettleton comes in, hadn't allowed a point in its first two games, and I think that is a good defense there at Nettleton. But Boonville's got a guy named Dallas Gamble who's just a lot of fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, I don't know how he got through, but he slipped between a couple of defenders and came out the other side and scored. He's just very shifty and fast, and so you know, that was kind of the big advantage for Boonville going into that game, is having a guy like Dallas Gamble. I'll tell you what, quarterback's not bad. John Daniel Deaton,
mm-hmm.
was he just a sophomore? Sophomore, is that right?
He's young.
He is, and he did all right for himself, man. He, if I can find the numbers here, there we go. He was 15 of 24 for 201 yards and three touchdowns. That's according to my unofficial stat keeping.
That's not bad stats right there. He's got a couple of really good receivers, and it helps that they have a massive offensive line.
Yeah, I don't know how good he is on the deep ball, but I don't remember them throwing it that much. But he can throw darts, you know. He'll hit you on. In fact, he first touchdown, I think it was the first, he hit Dallas Gamble on a quick slant. I mean, just right on the money. So,
mm-hmm.
Boonville, very good 3A team there, and a big win for them against Nettleton. And finally, the A game. Tell you what, Dalton, if you just looked at it on paper, you would not have expected maybe Amory to pull it out. Aberdeen has a great quarterback in Fred Fields and some good playmakers around him. But Amory has a good quarterback too, Dalton. So, I mean, I guess not too surprising, because with these games, Dalton, you think you have it figured out between these two teams, and then you don't.
Yeah, I remember we talked last week on our preview show, actually, about Fred Fields throwing the ball and just how he's kind of advanced as a passer this year. And
right.
Then I heard Coach Glenn, on the radio show Friday night talking about how they grabbed three interceptions off of him.
Yeah.
That's kind of the difference in the game.
True.
There. So, you know, I mean – you're forcing three turnovers, three interceptions a game, you're going to win a lot.
Yeah, you sure are. And that snapped a 9-year winning streak for Aberdeen in this game, the A game, which tied the series record that Amory set back in the 90s. So it's a huge win there for Amory Dalton. Let's look ahead now to week four, a quick look at some key ball games to look out for Friday night to get in 1A. As we mentioned earlier, 1A teams will start division play this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And a big one here is Biggersville at TCPS in the 1-1A. And, you know, this could go a long way towards, you know, playoff seeding, if nothing else. But Biggersville, we've talked about the Q kids that they got, Quaymon Davis and Quan Mays. And, of course, they tore it up last year running the ball. And Quan played a lot of quarterback. Well, they've got another Q who seems to be pretty good. Quentin mm-hmm. Knight has stepped in at quarterback. And that's allowed – it's allowed Coach Stan Platt to kind of use those other two guys in you know, different ways. And so Biggersville, a very dangerous team. TCPS, I mean, they're going to scrap and fight, and they got some good players like Cody Coggins and so Kai Holiday. So that should be a pretty good game there to open division play. You got North Pontotoc at South Pontotoc. Big rival game, Dalton. You got Corley Hooper, kind of the star for North. He plays linebacker and quarterback, having to take over for Clark Mills this season. But tell you what, Dalton, you've seen them too. South Pontotoc has a good many playmakers, and Eddie Ivey, the running back, and Brett Riley, the 6'6" tight end. I mean, those two guys right there can give you trouble.
Yeah, with Eddie Ivey being as good as he is, and there's no doubt that he is just excellent in the backfield, I think the difference maker is Brett Riley.
Oh, yeah.
When you're 6'6" and 3A, you're going to be the difference maker every single game.
Yeah.
And you saw this last year when South Pontotoc beat North. And, you know, that I don't think anybody but South Pontotoc thought they were going to win that game. And then Brett Riley comes out there, and I think he caught five touchdowns in that game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, if you have a mismatch problem that's that big, mm-hmm. you're going to have to exploit it. So we're just going to see if, you know, if I think it's Eli Allen's the quarterback, see if he can if he can get the ball to Brett Riley against that a really, really good North Pontotoc defense.
Just a good defense over there. So that's a big game there, North at South. And then the game you're going to be at, Dalton, Brandon at Tupelo. Of course, the Wave's still banged up with all these injuries, but what do you know about Brandon?
I know Brandon has got some really, really good playmakers. They've got a really good quarterback, Will Rogers, and they got a good running back, Dallas Smith, who has probably 85% to 90% of the team's carries. They just basically rely on him.
Yeah.
I know they got a really good receiver in Jonathan Mingo. He's an Ole Miss commit. Yep. I think he's got 22 catches for 450 yards already this season.
Wow.
And then you got Jay Stanley. He's another Ole Miss guy. He plays DB for him.
Okay.
But outside of like three or four guys, just me looking at stats.
Right.
I don't think they just have too many weapons.
Yeah.
Because it's literally just like a Will Rogers, Dallas Smith, and then the receiver Jonathan Mingo show. It's literally nothing else. Everybody else, they're getting 90%, 95% of the touches, which is working for them. They're 2-1.
Yeah, whatever works.
But they kind of ran into the turnover bug last week. They lost to Clinton 19-14, and I think they turned the ball over 6 times. And
wow.
I was reading somewhere they had some bad turnovers the first 2 games too. So
well, that's a big plus for Tupelo because that's a really good defense and they can create some turnovers there.
Yeah,
so could be an advantage.
I want to see if Tupelo's defense can respond from last week where they had a shutout and do the same thing again.
Right.
I know when Brandon and South Panola played, South Panola kind of runs that same they're just going to run it straight down your throat.
Right.
Kind of kind of like the Delta formation that Tupelo has, and they had a lot of success against Brandon. So I'm interested to see if Tupelo can do the same thing. I know they're probably going to try to spread it out a little more this week since they're a little healthier.
Right.
And I guess we'll see what that offense can do, though, because if they can just run it and that's it,
yeah,
Brandon's just going to stack the box.
Yeah. Well, it'd be a fascinating matchup to watch there. So Brandon at Tupelo this Friday. Let's talk a little basketball, Dalton. We talked about it last week, the big news that came down, I think it was last Tuesday, that the MHSAA is changing the format of the state basketball tournament. And, you know, they're going to take the top two from the north, top two from the south. So there's going to be fewer teams down there. They're going to play the quarterfinal games at school sites instead of in Jackson. And a lot of coaches I've talked with are not – I mean, some of them are like, okay, you know, I don't really like the format, but it's not terrible. I mean, they're willing to go along with it. The thing that coaches have gotten upset about, I think I mentioned this last week, that they had no input on it. But it is what it is, as they like to say, Dalton. A theme when I was talking to coaches was the venue itself, Mississippi Coliseum. It's old.
It's not the greatest.
No, it's old and rickety, and you know. But and there are certainly other venues, better venues, I think, that you could consider to host at least part of the state championship or part of the state tournament, maybe the whole thing. Of course, it's a matter of getting in touch with those people and seeing if you can work a schedule out, and you know, because they've got, you know, like. Maybe you want to play at the pavilion at Ole Miss. We got to make sure you can block out enough days, you know, in case the Rebels, you know, have home games and whatnot. But so that's a whole, you know, I'm sure that's logistically that is challenging, and maybe they're just wanting to keep it, you know, as it is for now. You know, they did it with football. They're moving the football championships around to different college campuses, and that seems to be working really well. So, you know, food for thought. I'm working on a story with on that, by the way. Should come out in the next few days. So
I'm not against it. I mean, I think it'd be cool to see it. I think it's cool whenever any of the state championships are at the universities because it gives some kids that are never going to play at the next level a chance to
right.
know, perform at those things. But, you know, if perhaps they couldn't make it to, you know, a university, Mississippi State or Ole Miss or Southern Miss or whatever, and they didn't want to use the Coliseum, you could always go to somewhere like Boonville who has just – one of the nicest gyms in the state.
And ICC, the Davis Event Center, is really nice.
You go to one of those places, you know, and you can make something happen there. I mean,
yeah, that'd be cool.
It'd be nicer than the Coliseum.
Let's wrap up the program with our Athletes of the Week. We do this every week, honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments from the past week. Thus the name, Athletes of the Week. I'm one clever son of a gun, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with the female athlete of the week. Katie Beth Hall, a freshman for Ingemar. She had a couple of good games last week, Dalton. She homered 3 times against East Union. This is slow pitch softball, by the way. And then she homered twice in the same inning against West Union.
She's sending a message to those Union County schools that she owns the place.
I guess she does. Just a freshman, too. Male athlete of the week, Foster Yates, wide receiver for TCPS. Had a big game the other night against, I think it was Macon Road Baptist. 7 catches, 201 yards. And
what an average.
And four touchdowns and a 52-36 win over Macon Road Baptist. So congrats to Katie Beth and Foster for being Athletes of the Week. And that's all the time we got, Dalton. That's it. Yeehaw. Hey, be sure again to check out our video show, our web show, webcast. I don't know what you call it. I don't know what the kids call it these days.
We talk on there a little bit more than.
We do some YouTubing.
A little more goofing off than this. A little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. So anyway, check that out. That drops every Thursday at djournal.com. We'll see you next time. Thanks.